Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts? We're going to be reading chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. This is the word of God. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter, who is lodging with a Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kind of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, in which you revealed yourself to us, your people. We thank you for that precious gift of your word. And we thank you that you have empowered us through the Holy Spirit to read it, understand it, and believe it. We even pray for those who might be in this room today who have not yet believed in you, that as they consider this passage, they might also come to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. May you nourish our souls through your word. May you magnify your name and help us to understand even more what grace is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This weekend, we hosted two brothers in Christ from two different countries, China and the Philippines, for our Mercy Conference. Though they are coming from two different places, they have at least three things in common. The first one is that they both left their country on a journey to America. The second one is that they came pursuing education. They came as international students. And the third one, which is the most important, is that they came to know Jesus when they were here, because people like you shared the gospel with them. They came on a journey to know Jesus, even though they didn't know they were coming to meet Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it was wonderful to have them to be the speakers of our Mercy Conference focused on international students outreach, because their life was an example of what Christ does when people are ready to share the gospel and the Holy Spirit is at work in people's life to bring them to know Jesus as their Savior. Today, as we look at this passage, we are also seeing two people who are on a journey to grace. They are coming, or they are starting, from two different points in their lives. For one to understand grace, and for the other one to refine his understanding of grace. They meet at the point of grace. They were on a journey to Jesus Christ. And this is what I'd like us to see us together, their journey to grace. We'll start with Cornelius' journey to grace. First of all, we know that he is a centurion, which means that he was the commander of an army of 100 soldiers. He was a Gentile, but he was a man who feared God. That means that he have heard of the God of the Old Testament, and maybe at some point in his life he realized, through just looking at God's beautiful creation, that there was a God. And he started to hear about this God through the Jewish people that were around him, and he became a God-fearer. But he had not converted to Judaism, therefore he was still considered a Gentile by Jews. Important also that he was not the only one who feared God, but he had influenced his household with the word of God. He had taught them about this God that he feared, and therefore his whole household feared God with him. He gave alms generously to people, which means that he was helping people out. He was acting, maybe based on what he was as a man, but also what he was learning through the word of God. And he prayed continually to God. This man was not yet a believer. He was not yet saved. He was not yet a Christian. But certainly, one way or another, God was working in his heart to move him towards him, to help him realize that he needed to be saved from his sins. Cornelius was already on a journey to God, as some of you probably were before you became Christians, through the influence and the sharing of people around you, until that moment when God changed your heart and gave you new life in Christ. This man was praying, and around 3 p.m., which is the ninth hour, he sees clearly a vision of an angel that comes to him and says, "Cornelius." He's terrified, yet he wants to know what the Lord has for him. So he says, "What is it, Lord?" The answer that comes is, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." He was praying at that moment, and God was answering his prayer. Maybe, I don't know, because we are not revealed here what was his prayer, but maybe his prayer was, "I want to know you." And we know that because that's what happened afterwards. God reveals himself to him. Then he received instructions of what he was to do. He was to send to Joppa and to bring Simon, which is Peter, who was staying at the house of Simon, a tanner. Two things you could notice here. First, God didn't say, go to Peter, but bring Peter to your house. And you can see from there that God had a plan with Peter as well. That the plan wasn't only for Cornelius, but also that Peter will really understand grace as well. It is also interesting where Peter was staying. He was staying in the house of Simon, who was a tanner, a man who would work with the bodies of dead animals to make leather. Therefore, he was staying with somebody who was considered by the Jews as an unclean man. Something was going on in Peter's heart that he was starting to embrace people that were no part of the Jewish nation, that were uncircumcised. In fact, if you will go back to Acts 8, you will see that Peter even is at that moment introduced to the understanding that even Samaritans who were considered half Jews could be part of the body of Christ when they received the Holy Spirit. He was a witness to that as well. So Cornelius acted upon the vision. He called two of his servants, verse 7, and a devout soldier. He called three people to go and visit Peter. He didn't receive instructions, or at least we don't see that here, about how many people should go and visit Peter. But I believe somehow God still was at work in his heart, because it was significant that he sent three people to Peter, and we will see that later. Again, Cornelius' journey to God, to grace, to Jesus, started some time ago. We don't know exactly, but somehow God was preparing his heart to hear the good news, to hear the gospel. I would encourage you to keep your Bible open, because we're going to go through the whole chapter. Our focus is not going to be only the 16 verses that we read. Now let's look at Peter's journey to grace, Peter's journey to Cornelius. The three men were approaching Peter's house, as you can see in verse 9, and Peter goes up to the housetop of the place where he was staying, the Simon's house, and he was there hungry. And when he was there, he falls into a trance, and he received a revelation from God. And there he saw heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by the four corners upon the earth. And on it, there were all kind of animals, clean animals and unclean animals, according to the Jewish tradition. He heard this voice, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He knows it's the Lord who is speaking to him. Yet, as you can see, he refused to follow the instructions. Maybe Peter thought that the Lord was testing him. That the right answer is what Peter says here, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." He was firm in his convictions. But the Lord has something else for him. He says to him, "What God has made clean, do not call common." There was a revelation that God was about to give him, but at this moment, Cornelius is trying to understand what is happening here. The Lord is asking Peter to do something that he wasn't supposed to do, which is to eat animals that were unclean. And the Lord is confirming to him that what he has called or made clean, he should not call unclean. How many times did this happen? 3 times. How many servants did Cornelius send to Peter? 3 servants. It was important that the vision happened 3 times to prepare Peter to what he will see very soon. 3 Gentiles knocking at his door. Peter is inwardly perplexed, as you see in verse 17, and he's trying to figure out what's the meaning of this that the Lord has given to him. And the men who were sent from Cornelius are arriving, are there at the door, and the Lord speaks to Peter and says, "Rise, go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." You could also translate this word without hesitation as "make not distinction." Think about the parallel that we have here when he says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, go, make no distinction of those men that are at your door waiting to talk with you." I think that's the moment when Peter understands what the vision was all about. He is getting it. He's understanding that the Lord is teaching him an important lesson. Peter then went down and asked them, "Why are you coming here?" Peter didn't know what was going on with Cornelius and the vision that he has received, so he had to hear from the messengers, and the messengers explained to him that a man who was a God-fearing man, who was well-spoken by the Jewish nation, have directed them to do that because he have received this vision from a holy angel. Now Peter does the unthinkable. He is staying in the house of a tanner, Simon, who is an unclean man according to the Jewish tradition, and then he invites 3 Gentiles to stay with him in his house. You see that in verse 33. He invited them to be his guest. Again, Peter is getting an understanding what is the Lord teaching him here. The next day, you start to see Peter's journey to grace. Peter's journey to Cornelius. He went away with them, and some of the brothers of Joppa accompanied them. If you read Acts 11, you will know that these are 6 Jews who went with Peter. And it will be very important that Peter will have witnesses of what was about to happen in Cornelius' house. So you know, this is a very important, significant passage in the history of the church. And it will play a role in what we will see later in Acts 15 at the Jerusalem Council, where Gentiles were included within the body of Christ without requiring them circumcision. What did Cornelius do? Cornelius was expecting them, Peter and the 3 messengers, and had called his relative and close friends. That explains, I think, why when we read verse 2, we know that Cornelius feared God and his whole household. It was because he was active in sharing his faith with others. Think about that. He shared with his faith with his children. Even before he understand Jesus, he was already sharing with his children, his family, his friends, his relative about the God that he feared. And that have moved people around him to fear God. Now we see him knowing that an important message from God was coming to him, what was the first thing that he did? I go and call my people, bring them to the room because they also need to hear the message. I think that that's the faith that we should have in the gospel. We know that the world needs this message more than anything else. Therefore, be eager to invite your friends to hear the message. There is Cornelius with his friends, and Cornelius' understanding of who he was fearing and praying is not so clear. Therefore, when he sees Peter, what does he do? He fell down at his feet and worshiped him. He wrongly worshiped Peter. But he does that because he believed that this message was coming from God. Therefore, Peter, with patience and kindness and mercy, lifting up and say, stand up. I am too and a man. But here I am. And there he start to disclose his message. He says in verse 28, you yourself know how awful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. I think Peter was refining his understanding of what grace was all about. It is not so much that Cornelius wasn't at his level, but that Peter was at Cornelius' level as well. Because we are all unclean before God. There is no one righteous, no even one. We all need Jesus to be saved. Cornelius wasn't better than Peter, and Peter wasn't better than Cornelius. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. He didn't have hesitation. He made no partiality. He was ready to kill and eat because he has understood grace. Then Cornelius tells Peter what was his vision. It is interesting, and I think that that shows how important is this passage, that the same story is repeated several times throughout the text. First is Luke telling us the story, then Peter describing it, then Cornelius describing it. Then in chapter 11, you will hear the story again, and it is because it is really significant. It is because we should pay attention. And that's what Cornelius does in verses 30 through 33. He tells him about the vision and about what God was doing by bringing Peter to him. And in verse 33, he says, now therefore we are all here. All my friends, all my relatives, everybody. We're here to hear all that has been commanded by the Lord. What was the command by the Lord? The gospel, the good news. They were there ready to hear good news. And there is where Peter starts his sermon. How does he start? You know, that's the question that most of us who preach ask ourselves before we come here. I myself change it many times, even before I come here. How does he start? Well, Peter starts by describing to Cornelius and those present what God has done in his own life. He says, truly, I understand. It's truly I understand now. It is something that I didn't know. But truly, I understand now that God shows no partiality. It is by grace alone. It is in Christ alone. It is by faith alone. There is nothing you and I can offer. There is nothing you and I can show for being chosen to be recipients of God's grace. No Jews, no Gentiles, no Colombians, no Chinese, no Filipinos, no Philadelphians. Only Jesus. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. What is right is to believe in Jesus. That's the only thing that will declare you as just before God. Only believing in Christ. So if you are here today, I encourage you to do what is right. Trust in Jesus for salvation if you have not yet. What is the message? The message is the good news, as you see in verse 36. Preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. We were all dead in our sins and trespasses. And until Christ died on the cross, and he moved us to put faith in him, he reconciled us to God. That is the peace that comes from Christ. That before you and I were believers, we were enemies of God. And now you're counted as God's son, as God's daughter. He loves you with unconditional love, even though you continue to be a sinner. That peace comes from Christ, and is for whom? He is Lord of all. And if you will go around in this room, you will find people from all the nations, not only because people have arrived recently here, but because your ancestors came from other places as well. The fact that we are here in Philadelphia today worshiping God is a testament, is a testimony that God is a God of the nations. Because this didn't start here. This started far away. Then what Peter does is he tells the gospel to Cornelius and his friends. And what is the gospel about? The gospel is about Jesus. Starting from his baptism, verse 37, he goes to tell all of them there, some of them may have been familiar with this, how Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. His mission was to show people grace incarnate, Jesus Christ. And the maximum point of the gospel is that he was put to death, verse 39, by being hung on a tree, and then God raised him from the dead. That's what we remember when we gather together here to take these elements. That Christ came, died on the cross, and is resurrected. That is what we will remember this coming weekend as we celebrate Easter, that Christ is alive. He's our King today. But also Peter tells Cornelius why he was there. He was there because as Jesus came on a mission, Jesus sent them, his disciples, on a mission. He says, not to all people, but to us, including Peter, he has been chosen to be God's witnesses. He was there to be a witness of grace. What is the message? The message is what we find in verses 40 42 and 43, he commanded us to preach to people and testify that he is the one appointed by God. Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets, the whole Old Testament, bear witness that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness through his name. That is the gospel. That was what Cornelius was missing. He was a God-fearer. He was helping people. He was praying to God. But he needed to know that unless he believed in Jesus, he will still be dead in his sins. So if you would like to summarize what was Peter's message for Cornelius, this is the summary. If you believe in him, you receive forgiveness of your sins through his name. Again, if you are here and you have not come to faith, that's a message for you as well. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in his name, you will be forgiven through his name and will have eternal life. What is the result of that? The result is that while Peter was still saying these things, while Peter was still preaching this theme, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. What an amazing thing to see. You know that we share the gospel, we preach the gospel, and some people hear the gospel and come in faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, while others don't. But we are seeing that at that room, all Cornelius' friends, all his family, his relatives, people that he brought to that room, all of them came to have faith in Jesus, repented, were forgiven, and are right now with Cornelius in heaven. What a joy Cornelius had to see that his household, his friends, all of them at once received forgiveness for their sins and became his brothers and sisters forever. How important it is to invite our friends, our relatives, to hear the gospel. Now, the mission was not, or the journey was not only Cornelius. The journey was a journey for Peter and his friends. What happened with the believers who were with him? Verse 45. And the believers, the six Jews who were Christians among the circumcised who had come with Peter, were amazed. Why were they amazed? Because the Holy Spirit was poured out even on Gentiles. So they were not expecting that. They thought that that was just a gift for the Jews. And they were hearing what? Them speaking in tongues, exalting God. They were seeing Cornelius' family praising God. Look at Peter's question. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? Why would he ask this question? I think that he will ask this question because that's the question that he will have asked before he understood this message. Because he will have said, before you are baptized, you need to be circumcised. And yet here he's saying, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit as we have? We are all the same. Peter is saying, it is by grace. It is through faith. It is a work of God. It is not our own doing. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism is an external sign of an internal reality, the reality of regeneration. And they could be baptized, declared through baptism that they were part of the body of Christ because they were evidence that there was regeneration in their hearts. Cornelius' household, speaking in tongues, was a testimony to their faith in Jesus, repentance, and forgiveness. What do we see here, brothers and sisters? We see here a journey to grace. It was a journey to grace from Cornelius, because Cornelius was a seeker who had not yet been saved, because he needed to hear the gospel, trust in Jesus, and be forgiven. But it was a journey for grace for Peter, because that helped Peter understand that the only thing that it was required for salvation was faith in Christ alone. It was a journey to union with Christ, because Cornelius, through faith in Christ, as all the members of that household, were united to Christ as well. And it was a journey to union with the body of Christ, because now Peter, Cornelius, his family, the six brothers, and us are part of that church, the universal church. That is what the gospel is about. It's about grace, forgiveness, and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your grace and mercy, because you loved us, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. Not because we were good people, because we were certainly dead in our sins and trespasses, but only because of your grace. We thank you that you have given us faith to believe in you and be forgiven. And we pray, Lord, for those who are in our midst, who still don't know you, that you might send to them the Holy Spirit, and they might come to faith as well and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.